Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Thank you so much for checking us out this morning. We're certainly glad you decided to stop by here, and hopefully you will stay for a while. Today, we're going to be discussing, is your spouse hiding something? We're going to talk about that this morning. If you think he or she is, you can feel free to give us a call at 855-454-5905. I am your co-host, Tiffany Bacon, here with your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all our friends who are listening. Whether you're listening on the radio or you're listening online, we're just so glad and so happy you decided to join us. And as Tiffany mentioned, we are talking about, is your spouse hiding something? Today's topic is secret lover. What is going on with your spouse? Do you suspect? Do you know? Have they confessed? Are they denying what's going on in their relationship? As always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. God in heaven, thank you so much, Father, for the way that you love us and you expose sin and you help us to grow and to change and to become better. Father, I do pray that you help us to have great relationships. And most of all, Father, we do pray that you bless today's show, Father. I pray that people will be inspired, people will be really spurred on to do greater things for you, Father, and that relationships can be healed. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today's theme scripture comes from Proverbs 26, and I'm going to read a few of these proverbs. I definitely want you to pay attention to it. Tiffany is going to give out the number before we read the theme scripture. We want to encourage you to go ahead and call in. We are talking about, is your spouse hiding something? Secret lover, what's going on?
All right, so the number is 855-454-5905.
Okay, Proverbs 26, beginning in verse 20, it says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Like a coating of silver, dross, and earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but their hearts, they harbor deceit. Through their speech is charming, do not believe them, for seven abominations fill their hearts. Their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Now, here you obviously see, you know, Solomon, as he wrote these proverbs, you know, the wisdom from the Holy Spirit to say, listen, there are some things that just are. And I love how the proverbs just clarify, especially if you have someone that is hiding something. They're deceitful. They're hiding it. And I love the part here in verse 26 where it says that their malice may be concealed by deception. Their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. You know, God has a way of always exposing sin. Mm-hmm. You just can't keep it hidden. It just might take a while. It might not be in our time, but it always gets exposed. So if you're wondering, if you're in a relationship and you wonder, is my spouse hiding something? Let me tell you, just pray, God, expose it and help me to have the open mind and the open heart to see what you expose. Because if there are secrets, if your spouse is hiding something, or if you're in a relationship hoping to get married, that person is hiding something. We definitely encourage you. We want to have a conversation about this. Is your spouse hiding something? Go ahead and give us a call.
And the number is 855-454-5905.
You know, Tiffany, very recently I was reading about this new app where couples are able to kind of spy on each other. They are able to find out, you know, and they even surveyed and asked couples, you know, how often do they check their spouse's cell phone, their computers. And, you know, the number was pretty high, you know, more than half of couples checking on each other and doing this. But what was more astonishing was how many of them found things that were hidden. You know, people they were flirting with, affairs that were happening, you know. And I'm not saying this to alarm anyone. It's, if you haven't checked your spouse's cell phone or email account, you're like, oh, I better go check right now. But all I'm saying is that a lot was exposed when people dug deeper. And from where I sit, a lot of times, you know, people, they might have their suspicions, but they don't really come and get help until it blows up, until, oh my goodness, not I think they're doing something or hiding something, but bam, it was discovered.
So what would you suggest, because there's so many different schools of thought about the whole going through the cell phone or any of that. What would you suggest if someone is like, I feel something, but then if I snoop around and I'm wrong, I also have to deal with the idea that I don't trust my mate?
Well, I think number one, it's important to establish that trust and that openness that, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, then why are you concerned? This is your spouse you're talking about. You're not talking about, you know, a company trying to check your personal account. You're not talking about strangers trying to, you know, snoop. You're talking about your spouse. This is the person that you vowed and made a commitment to be with for the rest of your life. This is hopefully your best friend in the whole world that you've already shared your inmost, you know, personal secrets, if you would. And so you, if for now you to come back and say, wait a minute, I have my own privacy. You can't check this.
No. I wasn't saying that. I was saying, so if the spouse is
suspicious
and does check and find nothing, and of course their spouse is like, well, why did you even suspect me? And dealing with that, like, okay, you think I'm doing something, but then they're not, and having to deal with the whole issue of the other person feeling like, okay, you don't trust
me.
That's good.
I didn't totally understand that. But here's what happens. The devil has a way of planting seeds of doubt in our hearts. And so as much as you don't want to entertain those seeds of doubt, if they are there, you have to bring it to a closure in order to move on. Now, there are times what I call discipling yourself, where you tell yourself, no, it's nothing. And let me tell you, sometimes it's nothing. And so how do I gauge when it's something or it's nothing? It's you can't shake it, right? So
okay. So
here you are, you know, you have this thought in your mind, my spouse might be unfaithful, or so they're hiding something. And you're like, nah, this is just me. I'm just being, you know, paranoid. If at that point you're totally fine and maybe you were just being paranoid or it was no big deal and it doesn't come up again or it doesn't even cross your mind again, then you're probably okay. But if after a while it just pops up again and again and you're finding yourself consistently trying to like convince yourself that it's not, but it keeps coming back, well, then the only way to bring closure to that is to have to deal with it. And, you know, sometimes it could be as simple as, look, this might sound silly, this might not be a big deal, but let me tell you, there's this doubt in my heart. I'm feeling something. I just need you to help me to overcome this. Oh. And so at that point is, you know, and as someone starts opening their mouth, you give them an opportunity, you'll be able to see, wait a minute, yeah, there's nothing. You know, we've all watched the sitcoms, right, where it's the silly is nothing and it becomes everyone thinks it's something big. And, you know, but
and
in
they were
real
trying to
life,
plan something.
Yeah,
special,
they were planning a special surprise and you thought they were being unfaithful. But no, what really happens in real life is it's usually the opposite, right? You try to downplay it, but it happens to be something bigger.
Okay, so the number to call for you to ask your questions, 855-454-5905. Is your spouse hiding something? That is our question to you this morning, 855-454-5905. So give us a call. We are going to take a brief pause, but we will return with more conversation after this.
to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are talking about, is your spouse hiding something? That is the topic here. If you have a question for Marcos, give him and us a call at 855-454-5905. Also, that was the other thing. I had a thought run through my mind and then run back out at the same time. Terrible. Also, if you would rather post it on Facebook, if you cannot get to the phone, or you would rather not speak on the phone, you can also post your question on Facebook. Just look for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Facebook.com. And Marcos will address that a little later on in the show.
Okay, well, as we are getting ready for our calls here, I want to encourage us, let's have an open conversation. And here, I'm not trying to say that we need to be overly suspicious, but I do think that sometimes those red flags are there and we just don't want to see what's there. We don't want it to be exposed, I guess, for fear of what if it's true, or how do I handle this? Or maybe even what you mentioned earlier, what if I kind of follow through a little bit and dig a little deeper, and then it's not, and you're wrong, then it's like, how do you repair the damage that was done? And so I'll give you a brief example here as we get ready for our calls. Let's just say, for example, someone you know and trust tells you that they saw, that they happened to run into your spouse, or they witnessed your spouse having dinner with someone of the opposite sex, and it wasn't you. So they're like, whoa, You everything okay? What are you like? Yeah. They're like, well, are you still together with, you know, so and so? And you're like, yeah, we're still married. And they're like, oh, I thought, because I saw, you know, your husband, or I saw your wife with someone. Now, at that same time, they'll say, it was probably nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, that's in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. Now you're like, are you sure it was the person? And they're like, well, yeah, it was definitely your spouse. Mm-hmm. So, and like, that's odd. You know, what would that be? So, but you tried to like just shake it off. Or it's probably nothing. That's probably a perfectly good explanation. So let's say at this point, and just for the sake of the example, it's your husband. Mm-hmm. So your husband comes home and he decides to bring you flowers. And now, because that seed of doubt was there, as you get these flowers, instead of being encouraged and being happy, you're like, oh, I wonder if he's trying to hide something. Why is he giving me flowers? You know, all of a sudden he's like, oh, how was your day? And you're like, wow, he's overly concerned with how I'm doing. Like, that's normally not how he is. And so anything he does, he's like, hey, honey, I was thinking instead of you cooking dinner, let's just go out. You're like, oh. So until you actually like deal with that, say, listen, this might be nothing, but so-and-so said they saw you there, whatever. It's like, oh, man, that's what I was going to tell you. You know, my sister's in town, or, you know, whatever it might be. Or, you know, and I had to have this conversation, or whatever it is. But until you deal with it, even things that they do that it's good would seem like something you'll be suspicious about until you deal with that doubt. So what am I saying is, expose it, deal with it, get your heart right. Go with it. Now, if the person is defensive, if they're deceitful about it, then that's when you dig even deeper. Mm-hmm. Because why would you have to hide? I mean, look, the other person's, why would they make this up? Mm-hmm. What's going on? You dig deeper. Again, we want to hear from you. Let's have some great conversation about this topic in terms of secret lover. Is your spouse hiding something?
So the number is 855-454-5905. I read this book once that was talking about this very topic, and one of the things and I can't remember the author's name right off the top of my head, but one of the things the author covered was, you know, what if you have a history of doubt, a history of bad relationships, and in the start of your relationship, it was rocky because you always accused your spouse or fiance of things that they were not doing. Mm. So how do you handle something that was maybe broken in the beginning? And, you know, what if there is something there? How do you even repair that if there was always the history of doubt, whether there was like no, you know, no reason for it or not.
You know what I've learned, and this is me personally. I think that there are things that we could be like hyper sensitive about because of the past. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to treat people the way, you know, what that they deserve. Mm-hmm. So if they've given you no reason to doubt, then why are you going to be overly doubtful? Now, I think it's all about communication. So if you express that to them saying, listen, I'm sorry if I'm going to come across this way. Mm-hmm. I just need help rebuilding trust because of X, Y, and Z. I've been hurt before. And hopefully that person is understanding to that, mm-hmm. that it's not, it might not be them personally, but this is your issue because of what's happened. And then that way you can do, I mean, it happens when someone's been abused in the mm-hmm. past, you know, they have a hard time. And so the spouse now might not have done anything,
right?
But they have to be very patient in helping this person to move on with this. You know,
and with that, the reason I bring this up, because, you know, I've seen or even experienced times where the other person, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, mm-hmm. the husband, the wife, whomever, has their own timetable for when you should be over whatever your situation was.
Okay, well, if there is a timetable, I mean, let's be honest. If it's affecting the relationship, mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you need some kind of therapy. You mm-hmm. need some help to get over this. Because, I mean, look, who wants to feel like they're mistrusted all the time when there's mm-hmm. no reason to mistrust? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, really? Like, mm-hmm. what's going on here? Well, let's go ahead. We'll talk more about that. Let's go ahead and go to our first caller of the day, actually calling in from Charlotte.
Yes, we have Dave on line one. Dave, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Dave, we're doing great. Thank you so much for your call. So we are talking about, is your spouse hiding something? And I'm not sure if your question is exactly in line with that, but what is your comment or question for us today?
I have a question. I'm trying to think of how to package this question in the best way so I can get the most out of it.
Okay.
Because I've talked to you before in the past, but I kind of had a question. You know, maybe I asked the question wrong and I didn't really get the answer I was looking for. Because,
okay.
You know, I didn't know how to, you know, package the question. And in short, my question is, what do you do when you feel like your spouse is constantly falling short as far as meeting your needs sexually, and then you constantly feel tempted to do something you shouldn't do? I haven't did it, but I've really felt a lot of pressure, feeling tempted, when you say, you know, your spouse's appetite may be once a week, yours may be five, you know, mm-hmm. they're constantly not trying to meet you in the middle. You know, I know it's doing this to man, I need to put her first, and I need to, you know, put her before me, but I'm constantly feeling agitated and irritated and feeling like my needs aren't being met.
I hear you.
To make it worse, there are other people around me at work, other women that are constantly flirting with me, and I'm constantly having to resist all that temptation. And then at home, I feel like I get rejected too. She's constantly rolling over and going to sleep on me.
I hear you.
Man, I've been told by my pastor, you know, put her first, you know, put your needs aside, meet hers where she's at, and then pray. But that's really hard for me. That's kind of not working. I'm feeling extremely tempted, and I'm constantly getting, I've talked to her about this many times, I've had several arguments about it. Have, you know, cordial conversation about it, but really, for the most part, nothing's really changed. She still does what she wants to do, does things on her schedule when she wants to, and then when she does do it for me, it lacks the chemistry, the energy, the passion, all this, just, you know, just hurry up and get it over with. So I'm trying to understand how to make it by without just getting to that breaking point.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
So I just feel like,
well, Dave, thank you so much. I think you've done a great job in expressing it and sharing that concern that you have. A couple of things. It sounds like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you are definitely feeling neglected and you don't feel protected by your wife when it comes to this area. And let me just for a moment just put this disclaimer out there, you know, for all who are listening right now, this is absolutely an adult conversation, adult content. So if you have little ones in the room, this is definitely the time to say, hey, they don't need to listen to this because we're having a conversation here as adults. But what you're mentioning here, Dave, is very real. You're basically saying, listen, you're striving to do the right thing. You're not trying to go out there. You're saying you're tempted, but you want your wife. You married her. You love her. You obviously desire her. But you're feeling like your needs are unmet. You have this craving, this appetite for more, and it almost seems like she's either, you know, does not care that that's the issue, or just doesn't seem to be urgent about kind of fixing the situation, or we don't know exactly it. Now, what has your wife said when you've mentioned this to her? Like, listen, honey, I have a desire for you. I need more of you. I want you to be more attentive. I'm struggling with this stuff. What's her response?
Well, she has said that she, you know, because I will just say this. I admit that I have done my wrong in the situation. And I'm not squeaky clean in this.
Okay.
I've responded wrong and threw my fits and copped attitudes, and I've totally handled it wrong on a lot of occasions. But her thing is she wants me to be patient, and she does not want to feel like sex is the marriage. And here lately, the last 6 months or so, I did, for the most part, a total turnaround on that. But I still feel some kind of way, and I questioned her. She would just ask me to be patient, ask me to give her a chance to initiate. But if your initiation is once every 4 to 6 days, then for me, that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's asking me to be patient, to give her a chance, and to make her feel like she's not feeding the monster. And I'm like, well, to a degree, you have to kind of feed it a little bit, you know, because I have a need that's higher than yours.
Yeah.
So she gets upset, so, you know, she just totally gets defensive when I bring that subject up. And she does do it on occasions when she doesn't want to, but at the same time, there's no vibe there at all. She's just there, just performing. And, you know, I feel like, why should I have to do everything to make it convenient and comfortable for her? Totally just bend myself totally while she does what she wants. I don't think that's fair, because we're seeing a therapist, and we're talking, and he's telling me to pretty much bend to her for the most part. And he's asking her to, you know, do her part too, but he's putting most of the weight on me because I'm the man, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like to me it's more, seems to be more about trying to make me wait. It is about her trying to do her part, and this is how I feel, and I know she would disagree with that.
Yeah. Well, I think, number one, Dave, you're doing the right thing by expressing it. I would be so much more concerned if you were kind of like throwing your hands up and saying, forget it, this is not going to happen. Like, I feel like there's a part of you that really wants this to change, because, you know, wait a minute, this I want this woman. I married her. I didn't, you know, I tell my wife all the time, I'm like, I didn't put a ring on any other woman's finger. I want you and only you. And yet you're the only one that can meet my needs this way, because I love God and I love you, and I'm not going to step out of the marriage. So we got to figure this out. And I think the patience part is key. However, when you're struggling, you have temptation and you have these needs that are unmet, being patient seems really difficult, because, you know, it's like, man, how long do I have to endure? And it does feel like suffering. It's like, man, you know, this is not what I signed up for. But the patience part, I think, is if, number one, you believe that your wife truly loves you, and it's not that she's deliberately trying to hurt you. It's just there's some things she's just not seeing and not getting. And if that's the case, then really that's where the patience comes in. Of God, let me take this to you. This is a battle that I need to fight on my knees, that God, you know, you gave me this woman. And I'm frustrated right now. And I think that the challenge, and I've been there, Dave, the challenge when you have unmet needs is that we begin, and you said this earlier, you haven't been, you know, totally squeaky clean about things, is you begin to speak out of frustration, and it doesn't help. Because if you're trying to win your wife over and want her to desire you more, but you're annoying and you're frustrating, then it only drives you further and further apart. So it can be that there's like so much stress in even heading towards this direction that there's like a defeat before you even get started. And again, I'm making some assumptions here, Dave, but does any of that sound familiar?
Yes, it sounds very familiar. And again, I will say I'm not squeaky clean. I've really handled it all wrong on a lot of occasions, because I speak out of frustration and I react. But I get aggravated because I try to explain to her that some people, we just have different appetites. And, you know, me, if it was up to me, it would be every day, but I don't expect that. Maybe every 2 days, that would be fine for me. But for her, I'm looking, you know, if I was to wait on her, it'd be once, maybe twice a week. She say twice, but
yeah, you have a different sexual appetite. And, you know, that's not uncommon. The part that is a little alarming, and I don't know, is it seems that there's either an unwillingness with your wife to meet that expectation and meet those needs, or there's a disconnect there, because again, you're not the first couple where you would have a higher sex drive than your spouse, but usually you try to have some kind of compromise and meet somewhere in the middle, which it sounds like what you're saying. It's like, look, if it were up to me, I want to be with you every day, probably more than once a day. Who knows, right? But at the same time, for her, it's at the totally end of the spectrum. It's like once a week or so. So what's the compromise? It's what you're saying, right? About 3-4 times a week would be better and you'll be happier. So what's the disconnect there? Is it that she's unwilling? Is it that just at the moment she doesn't get it, or does she get it and then quickly forgets? I mean, what is it with her?
Well, see, this is the thing. We went to a therapist. We've been seeing a therapist prior to this. So this is not our first time within the last year. It was our second therapist. And the first time, she was like, well, you guys need to get a schedule. So we did that. And it was three, she agreed on three times a week. Maybe four. She said a three-time minimum. So said, okay, we never got to that four times. She said, four is the goal, but start with three. And she said, well, okay, I'm struggling to get to do three. Let's work on it. But we never got to that four. And she said that four would be extra added bonus trying to get there. She gave us the statistics on couples that have a healthy, active sex life. And, you know, we never, seem to meet that goal. She told me that when she does it, she feels like she's being forced to perform. You don't want to be forced back in the corner and have to perform, and she's not into it more than half the time, in my opinion. So now, recently, the last 2 weeks, my therapist has recommended that, we do away with the schedule, which I feel a little more hard to do. So after they said it, I agreed, okay, maybe I should try that because this is not working. So now it's right back to that, once or twice a week. She's telling me that, she never makes me wait more than a week, but on average it takes her 4 to 6 days to even come at me, and I feel like that's just out of necessity. So I still feel aggravated because if you average it out, that's still once a week.
Yeah. I'm a little confused there. Where's the part where you're saying that if you got up to being together, being intimate sexually up to three times a week, why didn't you just keep that going instead of, quickly wanting to get to that four? Why not at least enjoy, okay, this is happening three times a week. What happened there?
Well, what I was saying is the therapist recommended three times a week. And she said the goal is to try to do three or more. She said three, maybe even four, and come back and give me a report. And I wasn't even expecting four. I was saying, okay, I'm good with the three. And I asked her what days. She gave me the days. And the point is we were doing that, and I'm finding out here lately the last couple of weeks, she's not happy with that, and she says she feels forced to perform.
I hear you.
She doesn't really, and she's not happy with that, so she wants to do it as she feels it. If I wait on her, it's pretty much once a week, maybe a little longer than that. She's never been there. She usually does come to me before that week's over with, but I feel like she just does it because it's her duty to meet my needs.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. Where I have a scripture, and again, this is not for you to like bash your wife with this, but this is for you to take it to God and understand, okay, this is what the scriptures say. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he says in verse 2, but since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. And here we have that understanding of, listen, it's not about me. It's about you, and vice versa. So here's the other end of the spectrum. You have this need. She also has this need to feel secure and not feel forced or pressured into doing something that is just doesn't seem natural for her. And so what I think is missing here, and this is just my opinion, but I feel like there is a lack of her understanding your side. And what I've seen whenever that's happened with my wife is at that moment, she needs spiritual women in her life that can relate, that have perhaps been through this, and the pros and cons of that. The women that have grown to deny themselves, to pray, to fast, to be their best for their husbands and what is done for their marriage. I mean, the benefits, I mean, think about this. You have a happy husband. You have a husband who is not really tempted by the world because he's fulfilled at home. I mean, you have that security that if she doesn't do those things, she'll have that insecurity. And it sounds like, listen, you are striving to do the right thing, but it's making it even harder. So it's a huge uphill battle to try to stay righteous. So, Dave, what you bring up is a very important point. My thing is, I think your prayer also needs to be, God, send some spiritual, mature women her way that she can start listening to, because she's going to really hinder and hurt you in this relationship if she doesn't change. So what you're asking is not unrealistic. I just think you're going to have to really pray to God to send you the tools and the right people to help your wife get to this point.
That makes sense.
And that's the only, and some of these things, no matter how many different ways you try to communicate it, it's going to come across as self-serving because you have these needs. But if it comes from someone else, it's just, there's just something magical about someone else expressing it and saying, listen, you know, older, mature woman saying, listen, you need to go, you need to focus and give to your husband. Not hearing it from you, but hearing it from them. So we'll be praying for you, Dave. We hear your pain, but I want to encourage you, man, stay righteous. Because the moment, if you mess up, man, and you give in to that temptation, it's going to be, you think now is going to be difficult. It'll be so much harder for your wife to want to be with you, because then that marriage, that trust would have been broken.
I understand.
So stay the course. But Dave, we really thank you so much for your call this morning.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right. If you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. We are taking your calls at 855-454-5905.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to hear from you. Also, we've posted our comment, our questions here on Facebook. So we encourage you to go to facebook.com/beyondthevows. And as normally, you know, we get to hear a lot from you. I know this topic is kind of heavy, but let me just mention this to you. We're not saying that if you call that you're absolutely suspicious of your spouse, but, you know, perhaps just getting your questions answered. What do you do if you do have these suspicions, or what do you do to bring and build more trust in your marriage? You know, obviously, our previous caller, Dave, we our heart goes out to him, and it's heavy because, man, it sounds like he's really striving to do the right thing, but him, it's just a lack of communication, a lack of needs being met in his marriage. So maybe that's what you're going through. And it might not be that you think your spouse is hiding something, but you're having a hard time dealing with some of these issues. So again, we invite you to call. We want to hear from you.
And the number is 855-454-5905. Uh-huh. So when you are counseling, you know, couples who are about to get married, do you cover this at all? And if so, what do you say to those who are preparing to walk down the aisle?
You know what was actually an interesting question you bring up, because yes and no. I think if people are doing this the right way, right, people who wait, they did not have the honeymoon before the wedding, right? They waited to get married in order to be intimate. You bring this up, but I don't think a lot of times people actually realize what comes to play. And not just those couples, but even couples who, let's say someone was fell in sin, or they were immoral, or even they were living together in the world. They become Christians. Now they want to get married. It sometimes people will even tell you that they felt like their sex life before marriage was better. Mm. Sure, we've all heard that, right? Some people are like, man, I don't want to get married. I'm going to mess it up. You know, sex life was better. I think that when you decide to do the right thing, there's a lot more at stake, and there's a certain pressure that comes. And so what, like Dave shared, it's very common, maybe not to that same degree, but the differences in what someone feels like their needs are, you know, and it could be needs of intimacy. It could be the same, very same thing. A woman calling and saying, my husband's just always working. And even when he's home, it's like he's at home and I just don't feel that connection. And I keep telling him I want to be connected, and he'll, you know, about once a week we feel connected, but the whole week we're not. And, you know, and it'll be pretty much the same, but it wouldn't necessarily be about like sexual intimacy. It'll be about like conversation. Right. Or being close. So we'll go ahead, and I definitely want to talk more about that, because I think that it is something that we cover, but there are some of these things that you just can't predict that they will be issues until someone's actually in that relationship, that commitment. But what I tell people is this: if you go into the marriage with the heart of, number one, we love God, Ephesians 5, we're going to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, right? Because we love God, but we love to each other and we're committed to this, then there's nothing you can't work out. because you're committed. And sometimes that lack of commitment on someone's part to truly work on things is where the issue really, where you really find the issue. It's not so much what they're dealing with as much as the unwillingness to change, the unwillingness to do this. And that goes for huge broad scale of, you know, whatever it can be.
We are going to go to the phones. I do want to remind you of the phone number. It's 855-454-5905. Before we get to our next caller, we did have a caller ask to repeat the theme scripture.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Our theme scripture is Proverbs 26. And I read all the way from 20 to 28, but we are definitely focusing on verse 26, where it focuses on and shares how wickedness will be exposed, right? Like you can't hide something. At some point, it will come out. Sin will get exposed.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And we do have Ranisha calling in from Philadelphia online too. Ranisha, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Ranisha. So what is your comment or question for us this morning?
I've been engaged for a year now, and we're soon to be married next year.
Okay.
And I have a problem with my fiance still masturbating and watching pornography.
Okay.
And I kind of wanted to get advice on how to approach him about the situation.
So how do you know this? How do you know, Ranisha? How do you know he's doing this?
Because he tells me, and sometimes when we're together, like if I ask to see his phone, I'll see it on his phone.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions here, Ranisha, and thank you so much for bringing this up. This is very important. And, of course, you understand that marriage is sacred and you want to have this, you know, go into this relationship set up to win. And so you have your concerns, all right? Your fiance, you're not married yet. You're scheduled to get married. How soon?
Next year, next July.
Okay, so in a year, this could be your husband and you're praying and you're realizing you have some serious issues with pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, it's not just an issue of pornography. It's an issue of sin, and it's an issue of his relationship with God, and something's broken there. You getting married, just so you know, it's not going to fix that. It might fix it temporarily. And I'm going to ask you a question here, Ranisha. Are you having physical relations with him? Are you physically or sexually active with him?
No, we are not.
Okay. So does he equate part of that struggle because you're not? I mean, when you ask him, when he confesses, what's his response?
His response is, you know, he says, I'm a man, you know, I think about it all the time. And he says he tries to control his desires, but I guess sometimes it's just unbearable with us not having sex. And then he says also that he has people in his life around him that talk about sex, and I guess that plants that seed in his head to think about it, and then he just goes and commits those behaviors.
Okay. Well, the good news is he's open about it. That's the good news. The bad news is he's not changing. And that's very, very alarming. You know, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He would not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You know, based on that scripture, there's nothing that we're tempted with that we can't overcome. God just wouldn't allow it. It just would be, you know, it's like, imagine you have nothing to eat and your only way out is to steal. It's like, no, there's always some way that God will provide a way so that even when you're tempted, you don't have to give in to the sin. And so what your fiance is sharing, it's really an issue with faith and his conviction and his relationship with God, because he's like, oh, this is tough. Well, yes, I mean, it is. And let's be real. We live in a time and age, and this has always been the case, where we're just lustful, but the time and age now, it's so easy to access. I mean, you mentioned it being on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before, you know, even years ago, when I was younger, if you wanted to find pornography, you had to go out and buy it somewhere. You had to go to the store and buy a magazine or video. Now, you go online, but you don't even have to go home on your computer. You put it up on your phone. And so the access is instant. But however, there are ways out. Number one, there are ways, there are even software that you can get. One of them is called Covenant Eyes. And it's a software you can put on your devices, including your smartphones, where you are held accountable. There are different ways to do it. There are different settings. One of them is there are people you can select in your life. You could probably be one of them, and other close friends that love him and that are righteous. And anytime he goes to anything that even seems suspicious, you'll get an email, an alert that, wait a minute, you know, this website was accessed. And okay. Those are great ways to be able to help someone and hold them accountable. But he has to want that, right? Because there's always a way around it. If you want to fall into sin, you don't use your phone. You go to use your friend's phone. I mean, if that's what you want to do. But if you really are striving to do the right thing, God has provided a way out. And so my question for you would be to confront him and see, does he truly want to change this? Because it can cost him the marriage. Does he believe that if he doesn't change, you won't marry him? Or is that even where you stand?
I never presented to him like that. Like, if you don't change, I won't marry you.
Well, the question is, would you marry him if he keeps with this behavior and watches pornography?
I never thought about that, but that's something that I need to deeply consider, because I do put God first in our relationship and in my relationship with him. So that's something that I definitely need to turn to God about that.
And something to consider, Renisha, realize it, that you will never be able to fulfill him and compete with those women on those pornographic videos.
Right.
You just won't be able to. I mean, we're talking about pornography. We're talking about these women. That's all they do. And it's video. It's fictional. It's not real. And so he's going to even have this expectation in the relationship, something you can't do. And so that the probably the greatest problem, there are tons of problems with pornography, and I can go on and on and on about this. I think the greatest problem is we begin to have these unrealistic expectations that there's just no way on this earth that any one woman could meet all those needs, because it's not real. And so what happens now is he's going to have this appetite that there's just no way you're going to be able to meet. And I tell you, one of the things I hate it. I mean, not just because of the sex trafficking, that's huge, and I have convictions about that. But you know what I hate the most about pornography is that I believe it totally taints my purity and my relationship with my wife. It impedes me, even if it's just a quick image of something that pops into my mind. I'm very visual, and now I have to compete with those images and try to get them out of my mind so I can focus on my wife. And so I don't want any of those things. So I guard my purity and my relationship highly, because I know what it can do. And if your fiance is just giving into this, let me tell you, it's a recipe for disaster. It's disaster. I could share really quickly, Renisha, that I've seen some amazing success stories, even at that level when they were engaged, where fiancés have helped their future spouses deal with this. But it was very conditional. It was like, listen, there's no way I'm going to marry a sex addict. There's no way I'm going to marry a man who doesn't love God enough to overcome this. Because if he doesn't overcome it before, what reason will we have to overcome it later? And Renisha, let me tell you this. Moment you guys start having sex, you get married, start having sex, it's only going to explode. It's only going to make his craving even greater. Because then he's had a taste of the actual sex. And the saddest thing I've seen is there are some men who prefer the false sense of intimacy, which is what pornography is, versus the actual real deal, because it's a quick fix. There's no commitment. There's no emotion. You can get into this big fight and he has sexual needs and he could just go and turn on the computer and go masturbate, and you will draw further apart. So there's a lot of disaster waiting to happen if he does not radically deal with this and eradicate it from his life.
So what's your suggestion for me approaching him about this situation?
Number one, you got to have a conviction of what you can live with.
Right.
You can't fake this. It can't be, oh, well, I called Marcos and he told me that. No, this is you and God, and this is you for the rest of your life. You know, you got to tell them, listen, I've prayed about this. I've fasted about this. I can't live with this. There's no way I will marry you. And you got to be willing to walk away if he doesn't change. And he needs to know this, because that's the only way, if he truly loves you, that he will overcome this, because he'll see this sin is going to cost me the love of my life. And he'll have to decide, do I love Renisha more than I love this sin? So that's number one. And then number two, you need to approach it in a loving way and saying, listen, it's not to be condemning or judgmental. I appreciate your openness, but I can't live with this. This is just not right. And we're in this together. So I'm here to help you. We're going to be married. We're going to be in this together. So how can we, what things could we do? And that's where I talked about even, you know, having these, basically these boundaries or these safeguards that you can have to protect the purity. So this is where the software comes in. This is where accountability partners come in. This is even where there are just groups that help sex addicts deal with things, and just having spiritual brothers in their lives. I have a good friend of mine leads an actual sex addiction group, and man, these guys do awesome. They're just consistently meet. They're open. They share things, and it's not condemning, but it's also not like you're going to get a slap on the wrist. It's like, listen, what do you really want to do here? Mm-hmm. So I tell you, these are the basic things you'll need to do, those three things. But it starts with you praying about and even fasting about what you can live with.
Okay. And is there a scripture that I can use to back up, like, the my standpoint behind it, or, like, what he's doing?
Well, there's a ton, right? Let me just think of one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Not even have a hint. What does that mean? That as soon as you introduce any of this, what does that say? It says that these are improper for God's holy people. And Galatians 5:19, I mean, the list goes on and on. Jesus talking about Matthew chapter 5 about cutting off, you know, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You know, they're just, I mean, the Bible is filled with scriptures about purity that we can, you know, we can follow. But those would be the first ones that I would tell you. Matthew 5:27, where it talks about adultery. And if your right eye causes you to sin, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off.
Okay, thank you so much for your time and your feedback. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Renisha. We thank you so much. And please pray and give us a call back and let us know what you decided and how things are going.
Okay, thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too, Renisha.
All right. Thank you so much for your call. We're asking you to give us a call. We are going to continue our conversation this morning. And the phone number to reach us is 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues with more conversation after this.